and welcome to another episode of The Psychology of Womanhood. I am your host, Shannon Ican Lady Battle, and I thank you for rocking with me on today as we embark on a new day of life, forgetting what's behind us and pressing forward to what's ahead. I love coming on the air just talking about life issues that women go through. When I look at the psychology of womanhood, our psychology just consists of so many facets of who we are, mind, body, and soul. And one part can't be incomplete without affecting every other part of our lives. So this is where you have the space to come listen and then later comment about your concerns, comments, struggle as a woman, because this is a place we all can talk and be honest, have honest conversation about what it is to be a woman. Every time I turn around, it's like I'm growing into another level. They say new levels, new devils. Well, guess what? I have learned that that is true. And that is true regardless of how much money you have in your bank account, how fine you think you look, how ugly you think you are going to deal with challenges that life throws you. One of the greatest challenges that parents experience, mothers experience, is parenting. We know that our children are jewels when they come into this earth. I mean, come on now. Think about what goes on in the process of giving birth to a child. Not even giving birth, but that whole 9 months when you are watching your belly just grow, when you're feeling life develop in the inside of you. You have sonogram pictures. And when I had kids back in the day, you had black and white images, which just gave you a distorted view of the possibility of what your child may look like. But then once they actually come into this earth and you give that final push and then you hear the ah, you're able to see everything that you endured for that 9 month time, what went on in the inside of you. Funny how you know something is working in the inside, but you can't see it until it actually comes to life on the outside. And it's that aspect of parenting that transcends into every walk of their development. Think about once they got older and they became those terrible twos and they were toddlers that were into everything. I remember when my daughter couldn't walk. My oldest daughter, call her one because she's number one of five, but she thinks one because she's just number one the best, but one because she's the first kid of the five that I had, and always into the pots. It didn't matter if we try to close it off and try to divert her attention to something else. She was always focused on getting to those pots and banging them, making all the loud noise she could, even before she could walk. In her mind, as a toddler, before she could even speak about what was important to her and what she wanted, she already was going after a dream, an idea, something that was birthed in her that I had nothing to do with. And then for that many years later, she became a professional drummer. And I look at those things because it lets me know that I was just a vessel as a mother to get another human being into this earth so that she can fulfill whatever purpose that God had designed for her. And I say that to help bring together what I see a lot of parents struggle with, whether they're coming to my counseling sessions, talking about struggles they're having with their children and their children, you know, making different choices that are contrary to what they envision for their child's life, or whether they're parenting an adult child who has gotten into some trouble. The thing is, you never stop being a parent. But the question is, how do I parent in this situation? I thought about this topic when I was reading an article recently in Black Enterprise, and it was an article on Miss Robbie. Everybody knows Miss Robbie if you've watched television with her restaurant, Sweetie Pies. And she has, I don't know if she has several restaurants or if it was just that one, but she was in business with her family. It was a family affair. And then she also used to be a singer, backup for Tina Turner or something like that. So she's had a lot of accomplishments in her life. 81 years old and still thriving. I look at this, I'm like, dang, Lord, give me that level of strength. And sometimes I think, what happens when that strength is exhausted? How do you keep going? And the article really intrigued me because I was made aware of what happened in her family, where her son is being accused of being involved in the murder of her grandson. All of this on the same side, maternal side of the family. And I don't know if it's true, if it's not, but I know that he's incarcerated and that is the proposed charge. But in looking at that, how do you as a parent, imagine if this was you, okay? So imagine your son, who you gave birth to, your daughter, who you gave birth to, is involved in a situation where they murder their nephew. I mean, in the same family, even with it not being true, the fact that your son or daughter is sitting behind bars with this accusation, how do you as a mother take, you know, what is the stand that you take? Whose side do you choose? Do you choose a side? What do you do in that situation? And it's very questionable because there are a lot of books out here that try to, you know, that talk to you about parenting. And those skills, I think a lot of people, they miss the mark in being better parents because they have limited skills in raising their kids, especially when they're given situations that aren't always conducive to just a healthy, happy environment. So in this situation, with the skill set that you have now, do you believe that this skill set would be able to help you flow through this difficult challenge of figuring out how to be supportive of a son that you gave birth to or a daughter that you gave birth to who did something that such as horrendous to someone that you love equally? I read her article and I looked at it, and before I read through it, because I've heard what happened, the title of the article, it was Sweetie Pie's Miss Robbie talks dreams of being the oldest Grammy winner, standing by her son Tim and looking for love. This was a September 30th article. So she's going on with her life. And the judgment initially would probably be, how is this woman talking about looking for love, recording a song and smiling and doing a photo shoot, and she's had this happen in her life? A lot of people who do not know how to transition through pain would see this as a challenge. This would be something that, you know, I could say that would be a judgmental flag, because that person looking at it may not have that capacity to transition through pain that they've experienced, because it's just a certain level of skill that requires you to be able to see this on the other side. And I'm looking at her situation and I'm asking, how do you see something as bad as this on the other side? What other side could there possibly be? I look at that and it hits home, because I counsel people who have been in situations very hurtful, where you've had incidents where you may have had a child who sexually assaulted a younger sibling, or you may have had a spouse who sexually assaulted their child, and you're the wife, you're the mother. You're the mother to those children. You're the wife to that husband and that child. And now you're faced with this incident. And when this is in your face, who do you retreat to? Who do you go to that would be able to help you through this situation and you feel like they would have non-judgmental eyes? I beg to say that it would be a very slim circle that you really know that you could turn to unadulterated, where they would support you, love you, and regardless whatever decision that you made. I could imagine that there are people in her family who are probably angry that she's not holding that same level of anger that they hold in this situation. I could imagine how the parents of that young man are feeling. And those are her children as well. So how does she share in that hurt, deal with her hurt, deal with her grief and loss, and still be able to see what's on the other side? That's the question that I wanted to learn when I read this article. And even though she didn't go into a lot of detail, she did give a profound statement. She wants to be the oldest living Grammy, you know, winner, you know, or Grammy, you know, maybe I read it wrong. Oldest living Grammy in the planet, right? She just wants to be the oldest. She's looking good. She's, come on now, she's 81 years old and she looks flawless. I mean, at 81, I definitely want to look at that. But she has aspiring dreams. Because she's experienced pain, it doesn't mean that her life stops and it doesn't mean that she stops dreaming. She recognizes that, okay, I'm 81. I am closer to the other side than what I was when I was 40, you know? So at that point, how do you deal with pain? If she's able to do this at 81, still be able to move forward and shelter her pain, take it to her prayer closet. And she says that because of prayers of others and her praying, that this is what's helping her to carry her through this trying time. She's still able to move forward. What does that speak to us as women today who aren't 81, who have not experienced something as tragic as this situation, but yet we're still experiencing pain and we don't know how to let it go? We don't know how to keep it behind us so that we can stop looking with what's behind and press towards what's before us. What's ahead? How do we get the momentum to be able to smile and look as though we woke up and we enjoy the fact that we have a gift from God to live life and live it abundantly in the midst of everything that we're experiencing? So as women, as we're learning, as we're growing, and as we're just trying to figure this thing out, when it comes to understanding, how do I do this at this stage in my life? If you're ever in a situation where you have to figure out, how do I help one without hurting the other? You'll never understand this conversation. It'd be hard for you to imagine because in your mind, you'll think you'll know what to do. And we always know what to do until we're in a situation and we have to figure out what do we do. So I challenge you, learn the skills to be able to master the art of problem solving. How do I solve problems well enough to be able to get to my next level? A lot of us have stayed on these levels that we're on for too long because we want to be able to use our pain to justify why we won't move. It's time to move forward. Things are going to happen. Life is going to throw you some curveballs, ones that you never anticipated coming. I mean, you think you playing in the game and you can see everybody on the field and you see who's on the first base, second base, outfield. You know that the catcher is behind you. But what about them blind spots that come from the crowd that's watching you when they're throwing stuff at you that you're not anticipating because you're just focused on a pitcher ahead? It's not the strength that's going to get you through those things, because your strength will fail you, but your faith will carry you through. So I challenge you, do things to build your faith. And if that area for you is weak, you're going to need to get on your knees and you're going to have to pray and you're going to have to ask God to give you greater faith, because your faith is going to move that mountain. That mountain of pain, that mountain of hurt, that mountain of doubt, that mountain of disappointment. We're all going to go through that. And no one really can talk you through that, because it has to be an internal awakening that allows you to be able to get back to the core of who you are. And the core of who you are, the spirit of who you are, whatever it is that you believe, you know, it's working in the inside. That has to awaken so everything around you can become alive again and begin to make sense. Because otherwise, you're going to keep spinning your wheels. You're going to keep playing the blame game, and you're never going to be able to fully prosper and live the abundant life that you're called to have. So the call of action for today is to look at your faith. Look at your faith and believe that you have that type of faith that can do the impossible. And the impossible may mean I have to love in a way that I never understood how to love before. The impossible may mean that I have to let go of something that I've been holding on for too long as a crutch, just so that I can get my momentum so I can move forward. That impossibility is always possible for those who believe. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm excited about what's getting ready to come up. If you have not joined my community, you all see that Facebook and Instagram went down. So there, that is no guarantee with social media, but I can always stay connected with you through email. So make sure you go to my website, www.shannonbattle.com, so that we can stay connected. And then when I have events and things coming up, you'll know what's going on. If you have questions, I'm typically responsive as long as I don't have a lot going on. But I just want you to know that I'm here for you. I'm here because I share in some of the similar things that you go through as a woman, and we need to help build one another up. I mean, this podcast here is the Underground Railroad. I'm moving, everybody moving with me. Okay, this train is going forward, and that's what we're doing together. Also remember. To look at the course that I've just launched, and that is Write Your First Book in 30 Days. Number one best-selling book is what I propose it shall be. But I did a course, and it's going to be an easy course for you to follow, and you get the book done, knocked out, no more excuses. No more excuses. Faith only, and live life abundantly. Until we talk again, you guys just continue to think smart, to elevate your heart, and remember, have faith the size of a mustard seed, and you'll be able to move that mountain. Talk to you soon.